Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the November 8th episode of the Your Living Brand Show. Welcome to a show that I have been waiting for a long time. My guest this day is Seth Godin, the famous Seth Godin. I am absolutely honored and thrilled to have him as my guest today. It has been someone that I have followed for years and years. And if there's a hero in my life when it comes to the marketing arena, Seth is it. So I am just ecstatic to have him on my show today. You know, Seth, for those of you who don't know him, and I'm sure very few of you who watch the show don't know who he is. Think of the books like Lynchpin, Purple Cow. Look at things like Tribes. These are amazing and incredible books that have stood the test of time and have got us to where we are in today's marketing world. So take the time, look at, you know, at the books that he's created, read the books that he's created, think about the books that he's created, and you know what? You'll be better for it. Hi, my name is Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. So Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, what do? I work with my customers to consult, to teach, and to speak, on brand message, market, vision, and value. What do? We find out who you are, what you do, why you do it, where your value is to the community you wish to serve, and help you engage them. And that's what this show is all about. It's all about how do we add value? How do we get people to understand what you do, why you do it, and why they should care? And today's guest is a master at that. So without any further ado, here is Seth Godin. Seth, thank you very much for making the time to speak with me today. I really appreciate you being on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thanks for the work you're doing.
Oh, well, thank you. You know what? For people who don't know you, I can't believe there's anybody on my show that don't know who you are. You are a prolific writer. That's the one thing that amazes me. You know, for all the things that you do for marketing, for all the things that you do for other people, it's the amount of writing that I see that comes out of you on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. That's the one thing that astounds me. How long have you been doing your daily blog?
Well, we're about to announce the 7,000th post.
Wow.
There was a blog before that, but I can't find it. So I think that the first thing I could call a blog post was probably 1994.
So have you been doing it every day since 1994? Is that?
No, the daily practice probably started in 2002.
But that's incredible.
Right in there. Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time.
That's 15 years of daily posts.
Yeah, it's been fun.
I can imagine. I don't think I have that much to say.
All I do is I write like I talk.
Right.
And I've never met anybody who has talker's block. So if you get in the habit of writing like you talk, it's not that hard.
Right. Because, you know, for me, it's like when I get up in the morning and I read your blog, it's like having a conversation.
That's the goal.
And that's an incredible thing. And I'm trying to learn from that on a daily basis. So fantastic. Let's get into the show. The show is all about how do you add value? You know, that's what this show is about. My attitude is that every single company is unique. Every single company has something different that they do and something, you know, that they can tell a story that's different about, you know, who they are, what they do, and why they do it. The two things that I wanted to focus on are your two courses. You know, one I had the pleasure of being part of called the Marketing Seminar, and the other one is the Alt MBA. Now, I want to let you talk about them. I want to talk to you about what they are, who they're for, why you created them, and what's the value that people get out of these courses.
Okay, well, we'll start with the most traditional one first. The Marketing Seminar is now in its third session, and it is for people who want to be better at sharing their ideas, getting new business, growing what they do, making an impact. For people who don't think that marketing has to be spam and hype and scammy, but that in fact, everything we do when we interact with another person, if we're trying to change them in any way, is marketing. And so, you know, I've written books about it. I've invented part of it. I'm in the Direct Marketing Hall of Fame. But a lot of people have trouble actually doing marketing. And the reason is it's one thing to look at somebody else's marketing and say, oh, well, Nike succeeded because they have a swoosh. Well, actually, not really. And it's another thing to do your own marketing, because we get hung up when we have to look in the mirror. So the purpose of the seminar is for 100 days, and you can stay in it for 200 days, to engage with other people, sharing your work, viewing their work, and getting good at seeing how marketing works. And the way the seminar works is there's 50 videos from me every other day. Each one lasts 5 to 15 minutes long. And then people discuss it and they do work and they answer hundreds and hundreds of questions in a custom discussion board that helps them move forward. And what we have found is that for most of the people who have been through it, they tell us it's the most effective educational experience they've ever had, because they do it at their own pace, but it's powerful and transformative, and it takes months, and that time, drip, 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 it adds up. It's not like a typical video course online where you watch a few videos and say, all right, I'm done.
Right.
The Alt MBA is totally different than that. I'm not in the Alt MBA. No videos of me. It's 13 projects done with coaches and cohorts. You write up your work. You're in a study group. People respond to your work. You respond to their responses. It lasts only 30 days. It runs really deep. And it's not an MBA. Not at all. It teaches you how to see, how to make decisions, and how to persuade other people of where you want to go. So they sit near each other, but they're not alike.
Right. And, you know, and that's really different. I mean, I was lucky enough to be part of the marketing seminar process. I mean, for me, it was transformative. The videos on their own were great, but for me, the real deep dive was the discourse. And it was the ability to be able to take the information that you were giving us and give it life. And give it life not only for my business, but for other people's businesses. You know, and to be able to have those discussions and to be able to get viewpoints that are completely different from your own. You know, and that was where I saw the real value. So my question to you is, when you were creating this course, what was the process that went through your mind? Because you didn't just wake up one day and said, oh, I'm just going to create 50 videos. You know, how do you go about creating something like this that not only, you know, do you see the value in, but you know that the people that are going to be looking at this and the people that are going to be engaging at this are going to find value in it and talk to others about it?
All right. Well, if you want to eavesdrop on my creative process, I'm happy to share that, but I'm not sure it's transferable. But here's the way I usually do it. First, you have to find a problem. So I don't wake up in the morning saying I need to do a new project, but often I bump into a problem and the problem won't let me go. And in this case, the problem is education is 200 years old and it's not scaling. It's not available to enough people. It's wasting a lot of time and money. Online education in some ways is even worse. Online education is sometimes thoughtless and it's not free and it doesn't work, or it is free and it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And so I've spent more than a year thinking deeply about this problem, right? And you identify, well, why doesn't it work? Well, because people are afraid. Because if they're in spectator mode, they're not learning. Because learning is about experience. The way you learn a bike is different than the way you learn about the War of 1812. And everyone knows how to ride a bike better than they know the War of 1812. Mm-hmm. So how can we create bicycle-like experiences that scale and are transformative? So I spent a year poking at that, looking at it, taking lots of courses with no plan, no understanding of what the right answer is. And then, I hate to disagree with you, one morning I woke up and I said, I'm going to make 50 videos. And I came up with the entire thing in an hour.
Wow.
But it didn't take me an hour. It took me a year.
Right.
And subconsciously, you're saying, no, no, no. So then once I had it, I realized that the engagement, the peer-to-peer engagement had to be at the core. Mm-hmm. But if I just had that, it would fail because no one would sign up and I couldn't keep it going.
Right.
So then you have the video, and I knew from Udemy that my videos worked. So if I can put the two together, the theory was we could transform people. And so the first week of the first one, which you were part of, it didn't work. Mm-hmm. And there's no way I could, I mean, I tested it on 20 people we cared about, but it worked for them because they were careful and friends and paying attention. But when I brought strangers in, it just didn't work.
Right.
So we were saying to ourselves, we have to shut it down and give everyone their money back. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, Alex Peck, my creative director, and I had built three different platforms to run the course on. And
wow.
We had launched it with one. And I people said, we hate this platform, but I thought they were just afraid of it. So we pushed for two more days. And then I realized they were right. They hated it. Mm-hmm. So we quickly grabbed Discourse out of the backup pile and moved all 2,000 people to the new one. And I was sure we were doomed. I was sure it wasn't going to work. And it worked. It was great.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because you're right. I mean, I remember being part of those first day, you know, discussion groups, and it was, I hated it. And it was more the fact that, you know, the software itself just didn't seem to allow for the thought process and the creative ability that right. you know, 1,800 to 2,000 people were looking for.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, and you guys did, you pivoted really quickly. And actually, I thought you guys did it on purpose. And you and I had this discussion later on.
Right.
You know, I figured it was part of the process to teach us a lesson, you know, to teach us that, you know what?
I'm not that crazy.
Well, you know what? I'm willing to give you kudos and credits for that, because it was one of those things where you sit there and go, you know, there's got to be a lesson in this. There's got to be a reason he's making us all feel very uncomfortable and having all this pain, you know, but when we realize that, oh no, wait a second, he's serious about this. We're pivoting onto a new platform. All of a sudden, there was a huge uptick in the engagement.
Oh yeah.
And everybody went, oh. And the lesson I learned from that is you can't be afraid to fail.
That's lesson one.
Yeah.
And lesson two is friction is sometimes a good thing.
Yep.
And we've run it three times. Each time it has more impact. But I will tell you that the third time where we've removed a ton of friction, mm-hmm. there wasn't the thrill that our students felt. And we could tell that just the unalloyed joy that led to more coherence didn't occur as much in the third one because it worked so well.
Right.
And so we need to think about, did that cost us, you know, educationally? I don't think it did. But as people who run it, sometimes it being an underdog is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it created the bonding. At least, you know, it created the bonding. We all, you know, all of a sudden we were all helping each other up.
Right.
And that was it. And that was a good thing. Now, you know, through this entire part, and I'm not going to give away the course because people should pay good money to go on this course.
Give away. I don't care. We're fine with that.
I mean, for me, the value in the course is the people that are in the course with you. And if it's one of these things that, and I think you were really smart about it, is the fact that you gave people the opportunity to teach each other. And I think that the more we can listen to each other, the more that we can engage with each other, and the more that we can listen to each other and understand each other, it doesn't matter what the business is, we're all going to be better. And I think that the course was a microcosm for that. Now, was that an intended lesson that you were trying to put forward, or?
Well, I guess you left out one key thing, which is if you went to any of the people in one of these seminars before they took it and said, who would you like to be in the course with? Mm-hmm. The people they would describe would almost certainly be fancier and have more visible credentials than the people who were actually our best contributors.
Mm-hmm.
So the fanciest people didn't contribute as much as the people who you wouldn't have picked. Because it turns out psychographics are way more important than demographics, that our attitudes are way more important than what's on our bank account. And so people discovering the peer connection that they could make, I think, opened the door for them to realize there's way more wisdom around them than they thought.
Yeah. And if you take that, and I'm sure that there's probably a lot of that in the Alt MBA as well, correct?
Even more.
Even more?
Yeah.
And I think that comes down to it must be a very tight, cohesive group that you become part of.
Yeah, we did a reunion in August, and there are 1,500 alumni. You had to pay your own way here, buy your own ticket, and pay for lunch and stuff. And I thought 12 or 15 people would come, and 180 people came out of 1,500. Five came from Australia. And the coolest part was no one wanted to talk to me. They all wanted to talk to each other. And that's the goal. That's why I'm building these institutions. Because if I want to go give a speech in a building, I can do that. I'm doing it tomorrow. But this is about something way bigger than me.
Right. So what is your vision for the future for marketing? I mean, you're at a stage of your career where you have the ability to give back. And I appreciate that. So what is your vision of where you know, what are the things that you're concerned about within the marketing arena? And what are the things that you'd like to see people either moving back towards or going towards?
Well, you know, marketing split about 15 years ago. It used to be that marketing and advertising were the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it was, you bought enough TV ads, you did fine. And so the little guys, I wrote four books with Jay Levinson, Guerrilla Marketing. The little guys were certainly doing okay around the edges, but the mindset of marketing was if you were really a marketer, you were spending a lot of money.
Right.
And Jay's vision sort of happened when the internet came true, which was no one knows if you're a dog on the internet, and mm-hmm. money wasn't the winning factor. So Nabisco and the local bakery were even Steven. Mm-hmm. Well, big companies can't stand for that very long. And so they had to figure out how to erect these expensive barriers. And then Google and Facebook built up other barriers. Mm-hmm. So now what you're left with is, on one hand, famous brands and big time celebrities who are using every trick and dollar in the book. And then you've got people where it's really hard to distinguish between, you know, a Russian troll and a real voice, between somebody who's actually going to ship their Kickstarter and someone who isn't going to ship their Kickstarter. Uh-huh. As a result, people who aren't approaching this as a Fortune 1000 company or one of the five big internet companies have a real trust problem.
Right.
And there's a temptation to race to the bottom, uh-huh. to cut corners, to spam, to scam, to lie, to put PDFs on the screen that cost $49 and on and on and on. That's my mortal enemy. Uh-huh. I think that we live in this very special moment, and to waste it dividing us from one another, to waste it scamming other people, feels like a sin to me. So I have spent the last bunch of years saying, if you're patient and you're honest and you're authentic, if you show up and show up for the right people, you could make it work. And I'm hoping that enough of us will keep doing that, because otherwise it's just going to get worse.
Right. So honesty, empathy, and trust.
I think that those are, you know, three of the, and I add humility to that, yeah. which is the humility to not steal someone else's attention.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I don't know if you know David Breyer, but he wrote, you know, had something called Rising Above the Noise. And I find that there's so much noise today. There's so many people wanting to raise their hand and scream from the rooftops that nobody wants to listen anymore.
Yeah, because everyone's selfish.
Everybody's selfish. And everybody wants it to be about them and not about somebody else.
Right.
And my goal, and you know, and I'm hopefully I've learned this from you, is that the more we can contribute to the benefit of others, the more we win. And it's about helping others be better at what they do and not worrying about my success. I worry about the success of others, and my success comes out of it.
Absolutely. The thing that we have to be careful of is not removing tension.
Right.
Because tension is always there when growth happens. Mm-hmm. So if all we do is say, hand me the RFP and I'll give you the best price. Yeah. Then we're a cog in the system and no positive change can come of that. We have to dig a little deeper and say, actually, I'm doing this because it matters.
Right. And it's finding, you know, it's finding people that it matters for. You know, the one thing that you did teach me and will always say is find the small enough audience that's viable.
That's right.
You know, don't go for everybody. Don't go for man and woman as your audience. Find the people that care about what you care about and you can add value to them. Right. And that was one thing that you taught me that I thought will probably always stick with me is that you don't have to befriend everybody, that you don't have to market to everybody. You have to market to the people that care about the things that you care about. Exactly. And you can help.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Well said.
Thank you. Well, you said it. All I did was repeat it. Now, you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time, so I'm going to ask you one last question.
All right, I'm ready.
One last question. When you walk out a door of a meeting and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing that you want people to either think about you or a lesson or something that, you know, that you want people to remember when you walk out the door that's going to help drive things forward and is going to stay with people and remind them about your value in the market and in the world today?
Well, what I've spent the last 15 years trying to do is help people teach other people. Mm-hmm. And so what those other people teach, what you teach or what Brené teaches or what someone else who's read my work teaches, that's what I want to be known for, because it's not about me transmitting knowledge directly to other people. It's about a cultural shift, peer to peer, person to person. We live in revolutionary times. The revolution has been going on for 15 years. It's not going to last forever. Mm-hmm. And in that revolution, we are defining our culture. And we can define it as a Kardashian celebrity worshiping angry fight between people who hate each other. Mm-hmm. Or we can weave together tribes of people who care about each other, who do work they're proud of, who don't need to be anonymous. And I'm hoping that I can help people see it's not someone else's job to do that. It's your job to do it. It's my job to do it. And every one of us has this little keyboard here that's connected to 2 billion other people. So you have all the tools you need. You just have to say, let's go.
You know what? That's a great place to stop. So Seth, thank you very much. Hang out in the green room a second. I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody and then I'll be right back.
Thanks for the work you do, Ben. A pleasure.
Hey, Seth, thank you very much for teaching me everything.
All right, I won't go anywhere.
All right. So I want to thank everybody for listening in. It has been an absolute pleasure and an honor to have Seth Godin on my show. It is all about building tribes. It's all about understanding who are the people that you're trying to serve. Why do they find you valuable? Why do they love you? Why will they tell your story to others? What are the unique, different little things that you do that get people's attention, make them want to engage with you, and make them want to care and buy from you? Think about those little things and move the needle forward. I want to thank everybody. Once again, my name is Ben Baker, and 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, my company is Your Brand Marketing. What do? We consult, we teach, and we speak on brand message, market vision, and value. Let us help you move the needle forward, find out who your audience really is, why they care about you, and help to speak to them in an engaging way and meaningful way. Thank you very much for your time and have a great day.